I'll be reading from Genesis 8, verses 6 through 14. They'll be on the screen. You may read along, or you may close your eyes and be there. It's okay, either way. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven. And it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. And he reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again. This time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. These are the words of God for the people of God. Amen.
Last week, Ella Johnson was up here and preached, and didn't she do a fabulous job? Yeah. I told her she set a high bar for me last week, so she pushed the bar up, did a great job. Proud of her as our outgoing senior, somebody who's been a part of this church for most of her life. So just thankful for Ella sharing last week. Next week we're gonna have a really fun conversation about General Conference. So General Conference, United Methodist Church, happened back in the spring. There were some things that changed as a result of that in our book of discipline, and some decisions that this church will have to make. And so I'm actually going to share the same slides that the bishop shared with us at General Conference that goes over that, and then I'm gonna just share kind of a personal story of my own. And then you guys will have an opportunity. We'll actually, the board would like to hear from you. The board has to make some decisions. And so we'll have some cards next week for you to fill out. It's not a vote. It's just kind of where you're at with some of the different topics. So you'll have an opportunity to kind of fill that out. And we'll talk about if you want to have more conversation about it, how to have more conversation about it. And so since that's our conversation next week, I plan something really calm and soothing for this week. Hopefully not too calm and soothing that you all either go to sleep or have another response. But when I was in high school, one of the things that I did that I really enjoyed it helped me understand my call to ministry and the ability to be creative within ministry and do some different things. I was in a class, had a class project, and I actually did a scripture in the class. I was able to share scripture. Had a couple guys who played acoustic guitar. They came in and played behind me as I shared these scripture passages. And it was a very cool thing, a formidable thing for me in high school to be able to kind of witness in that way, but to also kind of combine arts and a message in a way. And so today I'm doing something very similar to that, but instead of using audio, I'm going to use video. And so there's going to be video in the background, and I'm actually just going to, I got my little click light here, I'm going to narrate a story. I'm going to narrate we're going to enter into the Noah story, right? Into the ark and what that must have been like. And so my video, as I've timed it, kind of goes along with the words that I'm speaking. And it's all very kind of natural. I picked very natural kind of video scenes to go along with this. And some of these clips, while I was on vacation, I was at the ocean. And so some of these are actually my video clips that I took of the ocean. And then others are things that I found online. So the meaning of and this is just 6 minutes, just a 6 minute kind of video and story. But it's about faith and the flood. It's about faith and the flood, but then also our faith when we experience floods in our lives, kind of overwhelming floods, things that are overwhelming. And so actually I'll kind of narrate this and you'll watch it and experience it. And then the rest of our time together, I actually have questions for you. We're going to have just a conversation. It's your kind of opportunity to add to the message this morning of this from your own life, right? So that is what we're going to do. Once again, it's about 6 minutes, so not too long. And so if we can bring the lights down and get comfortable, but not too comfortable. I can't imagine what it must have felt like to be Noah, to watch it rain and rain and rain, to watch the creeks and the streams fill up and flood, to watch the lakes and rivers fill up and flood, to watch the dry ground become saturated with water, little by little, inch by inch. What was it like the first time there was no dry ground left to see? To watch the water get deeper and deeper. What was it like to feel the ark lift up and begin to float? For 150 days, it did nothing but rained and rained and rained. For creatures that live on land, nothing but water is a terrifying thing to see. Did the animals know it? As they waded in the ark, drifting in the great expanse of water, were they scared? Was Noah scared? His wife, his children, were they scared? What was it like after it stopped raining? Did waves and wind crash into the ark? Or was the great expanse of water eerily still? What was it like to tend to the animals each day and to simply wait? Just waiting and hoping to see, to feel dry ground, to exit the ark and to live again on dry ground. This story in the 8th chapter of Genesis should sound familiar to those who would read through the first book of the Bible. The reader might recall the beginning of the book, the beginning of the world, the beginning of all creation in chapter 1. On the third day, God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear," and it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. In the book of Genesis, the flood story should remind us of the creation story. And before these stories were written down, they were told, verbally shared around a meal, around a fire, passed down from parent to child, generation to generation. And in these stories, thousands of years ago, the deep waters represented something to ancient people. The deep waters represented chaos and fear. The deep waters were uninhabitable to them and all living creatures that roamed along the dry grounds of the earth. And what kept the deep waters from swallowing them up? It was God, the creator of heaven and earth. In the Genesis story, God is full of hope for his people who were created in God's image. In the flood story, God has lost hope in the created being that he had imbued with a portion of his knowledge, self-knowledge. Having been imbued with this godly gift, humanity had become evil and dark, and the Creator became disappointed in what he had been created. The Creator of both the deep waters and the dry grounds allowed the waters once again to swallow up the dry ground and all its inhabitants. The sins of humanity would jeopardize all that had been created, the plants, the insects, the birds of the air, the animals on dry ground. Except for Noah and his family and the living creatures they chose to go in the ark with them. Noah's family was the hope of creation. He gave God hope in what he had created. The flood story in Genesis reminds us of God's desire for a people, for children born of flesh and blood, created in his image, who would be a good and faithful people. The dry ground is the stability and possibility of life. The deep waters are the fear and the chaos of life. It is our faith in God and goodness to one another and all creation that keeps the chaos and fears of life from consuming us all. But it is the ark, which is the miraculous love and hope of God, that saves us when chaos and fear come over us. Our God will provide a way for us when chaos and fear overwhelm us. We thrive on dry ground, but it is when we find ourselves floating in the chaos and fear of life that we remember God is our shelter and our hope. He hopes in us, and we hope in him. Okay, I'm going to bring the lights up. That's our story, right? And so now, where'd the mic go, Ella? Over here. And so now we're gonna talk a little bit about how the metaphors in this kind of speak to your life and to what you might have going on. You know, the stories in Genesis, you know, may have been historical, may not have been historical, right? They may actually have a very deeper meaning that carried on with people, and that's why they told these stories, was to remind each other of these deeper meanings about life, right? And so I've got four questions for you around the things that we just saw and heard, right? And so this is your opportunity to provide a faithful message today. You get to be a part of the faithful message that is shared. So once again, the deep waters that broke over their boundaries, right? The deep waters that swallowed the earth up, flooded onto dry grounds, it represents chaos and fear in our lives in that story. And that's what water meant to them, was chaos and fear. So what are the things or issues in your life that come up and feel like chaos and fear and unknowing to you? What are the things that you experience that feel like that? The loss of family members feels a lot like that, like you're being overwhelmed. Yep. What else? Sickness. Yeah, I would think that sickness and the health issues and those health issues that come up that are, you're sitting in the doctor's office and actually you don't hear anything else after you've been told what the prognosis is. Have you ever had that experience where you just can't believe what you just heard, right? And so that's a moment, that's a flood moment in your life where you kind of feel overwhelmed. What else might be that moment of fear and chaos? Starting a new job, yep, can very much feel like you're into something new and scary, and you don't necessarily know what's going to happen, but you're stepping into it. Or loss of a job. Yeah, you've lost a job, depending upon the parameters of, right, how you lost that job. Like, that can feel very overwhelming and terrifying, trying to figure out what's going to be next. Good. Anything else? Moving to a new place. Yep. Walking into a church for the first time that you're not familiar with can feel a little bit like chaos and fear, and entering into that community. How's that community going to receive me? Can be very scary. Others? Threat of war. Yep. Threat of war can be terrifying, and you kind of feel out of control of that, right? Like, how much of that is really in your hands? Very little of it. And so that's just feeling like, what can I do in this moment? Good. Anything else? Failing health. Yeah, when you know it's going to be time soon. Or you got a loved one, you know it's going to be time soon for them. And so that kind of waiting process. Right? When a heart goes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, those are all challenges. Good list. So when these things happen, here's the next question. When these things happen, what are the scary, fearful thoughts that come into your head? So what are you afraid of when these things happen? What is the future going to be? What's going to happen now? I've lived this way. Is this getting ready to change drastically? Anything else? Say it again. Yeah, will I be able to endure this pain and this hardship? Yeah. And what was said over here? Being alone. Is that what you said? Yep. The fear of being alone. And can I do it? Can I be alone in that way? Yeah, thank you. Yes. Yeah. Right. Now, when somebody else has a problem, you can only go so far as somebody outside of that. And so the fear is, what's going to happen to my friend? What's going to happen to my loved one? You know? And sometimes you just, letting that happen is hard. Yeah, anything else you're afraid of? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's really good. When you have children, little children, what's the world going to be like? Is the world going to support my child, or is it going to close in on them? Yeah, that's scary. Fear the world's coming to an end. Yeah, is this the end? Is this end times? That's in the Bible somewhere, isn't it? Yep. Yep. Anything else? Is no one here afraid of dying? Are you a brave crowd? Dying's kind of scary, right? Sometimes that's what we're afraid of, is death. The afterlife is really good. That's right. That's Jesus kind of came back and told us that, didn't he? Yeah. Yep. Very good. Okay. Third question. You just helped me out there a little bit. What are the thoughts or beliefs you want to have instead that remind you of God's faithfulness to you when you are afraid of what will happen next? So, because right away those thoughts come in, and then what are the better thoughts? And so when I just talked about death, you know, you just said, yeah, but Jesus said there's this life after death. And so that's a better thought, isn't it? It's like, yeah, that kind of helps give me some courage to face. And anything else? What are the thoughts that you have the initial kind of, oh, no thoughts, and then what are the thoughts that kind of support your faith and who you are? What else? That I'm not alone, right? So kind of like, oh, am I alone? But then you come to church and you call friends and you have family and you're reminded, no, I'm not alone. Yeah, very good. What else? Be not afraid, right? Right. Yeah, it seems to be a big scriptural theme and message, isn't it? Be not afraid. Be not afraid. I got another question later, but I'll stop there. All right, what else? What's What are the other things that we try to think of when we get? Yep. Yeah, your family and how they're going to do. And hopefully they'll do well, right? That's the positive thought we're trying to have, is they're going to be able to do it. I've done everything I can, right? Like, I've done everything I can to help raise them and support them and love them. And I've instilled enough within them. And God loves them more than, yeah, right. God loves more than I do. He loves them greatly. Good. Any other thoughts that you try to have when you get overwhelmed by the other things? Those are good thoughts. Okay, last question. It's good to know what your ark is, right? So there's kind of a metaphor here. And so your ark is how you anchor yourself in God's love, even when you're afraid. There's something in your life that anchors you. So who knows what your ark is? What is that thing that anchors you in God's love when things get hard for you and scary? Prayer is an anchor. Any specific kind of prayer, or just being able, just talking to God about it and giving those things to God? Yep, that's definitely an anchor. That's an ark. Who else? What do you have? Yes. Scripture passages. Good. Do you have? What passage is that? It's a psalm. Okay, it's in there. It's in the Psalms. Good. That's fantastic. No, I appreciate it. What else? What's your ark? What's your thing? And 1 Peter 5:7 says what? Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Yeah, that's a good one. Just kind of knowing that, saying that. Anybody else have a scripture verse that you... Yes. Yeah. Psalm 139, she says, she's paraphrasing, no matter where you are, I am there with you, right? Just a reminder that wherever I'm at, if I'm in the doctor's office and I'm getting the news, God's right there with me in that moment. Yeah. What else? Who else has an anchor? What's your ark? 23rd Psalm. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He guides me besides. Yeah, very good. Yes. Your family is an ark to you. Yeah, being able to be with them. Does anybody have a specific family member that is kind of like your specific person that you kind of go to? Yeah. Your daughter. Yep. She's an ark. Good. Yes. My son Andrew and Bolivar. Son Andrew and Bolivar. Yep. Is an ark for you. He's your inspiration. Good. Yep. Loves the Lord. Good. Because we need that reminder. Oh, is that right? Happy birthday to him. We got quite a few birthdays going on this week, I think. So, anybody else? Anybody have? Yes. Yeah. Worship. Worship is your art. Being able to come Sunday mornings to worship and to have this experience just really kind of puts you into your faith, into that good place. That's fantastic. Anyone else? Your wife is your ark. Good. Yeah. Kind of stepping into that place. Good. So here's what I want you to understand. This, what I just did, this is a way for you to help friends that you have when you're in conversations with them, when they have things like this going on, right? And so this can be helpful even like for us, like for one another, right? As Christians, when we're talking to each other, this is a good method for each other. But this is also, let's say you have non-Christian friends. Let's say you have folks that don't know Jesus. You know, it's kind of funny. Before I got married, we dated a while, and then we were engaged a while, right? And so sometimes that's how we do this, the Jesus thing. And so when you have conversations with people and you bring Christ into it, you bring your faith into it, and you help them do that, it gives them this opportunity to kind of do some dating, some okay, so I can start this faith thing now? Yeah, you can start it now. Let's do it now. And so the steps that I kind of walked through was I said, look, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? And then I said, after what are you afraid of, what are you afraid of will happen as a result, right? As a result of this experience you're in, what are you afraid might happen to you? And then the third thing I said was, and what is the more kind of faithful, courageous response you want to have right now? Because sometimes we need help with that, right? Because first the fear comes in, but then we need help remembering, okay, what is the more faithful response and the courageous response that I want to have look like? I need you to help me figure that out. And then once you've done that, how can you ground yourself in your faith right now in this thing? Ground yourself. And so what person or place or practice do you have or do you need to start that reminds you that God's love is with you and surrounds you and is going to help you through this? And so for some people, it might be a scripture verse. It might be introducing them, inviting them to prayer. It might mean circling back around with them and hey, I'm going to come over and pray with you again next week. And we're going to pray about this. And maybe it's having them come to church and having that worship experience, right? But it's an open conversation. It's an open dialogue with them about what is going to help them kind of get centered in faith. And so here's my hope for you this week. I hope that maybe this week God presents you an opportunity to do these things. That you might find in a phone call or in a conversation with somebody you care about, that you might have this opportunity to help them do these four things that somebody taught to me that's been very helpful to me in life. And the four things, once again, are what are you afraid of right now? What are you afraid of? And then what are you afraid is going to happen in the future because of this thing in your life right now? And then how is God going to be faithful to you in this present moment? How is God already being faithful to you? And then fourth, how can you anchor yourself? How can you enter into God's ark of love and reside in that place and know that he's going to be faithful to you through this hardship in your life? How do you keep coming back to that? Because I got news for you. The winds are going to pick up. The waves are going to pick up. It's going to rain hard. And so you're going to need something to remind you that God's love is present with you at all times. And so invite them to figure out what that thing is. And maybe that's an opportunity for you to share what the thing is for you. And maybe that will help them. So I don't know. I mean, we might call this kind of subtle evangelism, right? A subtle form of evangelism to offer hope and courage to people. So I hope you have an opportunity this week. Maybe you remember a couple of things and you can walk them through it and see some good things in somebody's life. Maybe it was you that needed it this morning. Maybe you're going through something this morning and you sat down and you're kind of struggling. And so you can remember, man, what is the thing? What am I afraid of is going to happen? How is God faithful to me? What can I do each day to remember God continues to be faithful to me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for creative opportunities to share a message. Lord, this is an important theme in our lives. It's one we're going to struggle with as long as we are walking on this earth. The floods that come against us, that overwhelm us, the storms that mean to drown us, and yet you, Lord, are the way through. You are the love and the support and the strength when we are afraid. And so, Heavenly Father, I ask that you be with each person in this room, and for those that needed this, Lord, allow them to walk out, placing themselves within your love and your support. And Lord, somebody here I think is going to have a conversation this week. Like you knew that was going to happen and you wanted to give them a tool. And so Lord, help them remember this in that moment when they're talking to their friend that needs some hope and some support. Because you, Lord, alone are our greatest hope and support in our lives. We thank you for that. You're a good God. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.